Just Tribe Radio, www.justtriberadio.com. Hey, Jill.
Hey, Fiona. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. I've got kind of a couple of noisy dogs here, so I hope they'll decide
to be
quiet.
I've got two noisy dogs here, too, that want to, Bob is quelling them with a look right now to say, don't bark.
You had an idea of what might be fun to talk about or what they could.
Yeah, I'd like to, first of all, just say to anybody who at this time tunes in to Earth Tribe Radio to give a big thank you for putting up with the changes that we've had to incur, like the sound of the program is different than when we're together recording.
Yes.
But this is, you know, when we're in such a big change like this, we just need to be a bit more flexible about how things are delivered in more ways than one.
In so many ways, because everything has changed. It's really scary for people, and we want things to be the same. I hear that a lot from people. I just want things to go back the way they were. It doesn't feel that to be
that
in a... Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, it puts us into fight and flight, because when things are the same, we feel like we've got a handle on it. But when things change, for most people, it puts them into fight and flight, because they've got to reorganize how they deal with everything.
Yeah. I think, you know, witnessing... from afar, I might add, from being isolated, but witnessing how various people do it. I know my sister does this wonderful thing, is she has created a whole new, what do I call it, rhythm to her life and what she does at what time. Because she feels very, she feels a lot better and not so scared when she has a rhythm or routine. So now that she's ensconced at home with mother and she can't go out, she's looking after mother, who's 98, she does online yoga. She does online meditation with Zoom, with people that she knows. And certain times she'll eat a meal, and at certain times she'll watch her television, and that has been very very successful for her.
I think
to create a new routine.
That man, I think I sent you the, maybe not that mountain man or man in Alaska who's been living alone for 50 years in a very remote place, almost never sees anyone. And he said exactly the same thing. So for him, living alone, he has a routine every day.
Yeah. And I think looking back on it now, that whole time that I was living at my son's in Oxnard by the beach when I was going through most of the cancer treatment, how I managed to do that was set up this routine because, you know, all the radiation and all the rest of that was out of my normal. So I needed to create a routine around that. So I think I like to watch how people are doing that. But I'm struggling with something else I wanted to talk to you about today, and let's see if we can figure this out. I know we talked once before about empathy and being an empath, which we sort of decided we're not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. I don't know. Having empathy is when you kind of step out of yourself and you view things from the perspective of another person.
Yes.
Being an empath is not always voluntary. In fact, it's mostly not voluntary. I think most people are empaths, but because we've really gone so strongly to the logical mind that we don't feel it underneath, and yet we are feeling it in some way. And I think that there is, and I think that's the distinction, is when we're conscious or when we're aware of our empathic connection to everything, then that's an empath. But and you can tell me what you think, but I think that when we're having empathy, when we're in empathy, we're stepping out us outside ourselves and looking at things from the perspective of other people. I can't talk today. Yes.
I feel, yes, that's it. I think there's another little edge to it, though. I think empathy is being able to be compassionate for others, feeling compassion for others. And, you know, sort of putting yourself in other people's shoes and, you know, compassion and understanding. I think an empath is the next step from there. It is, for me, what it is not only do I put myself into another person's shoes, but it's almost like the psychic element of actually experiencing it with them.
Yes.
So yes. This is what I'm struggling right now with, because, you know, we have all the ways of, you know, soft belly, drop your shoulders, you know, that, to bring yourself back to you. But I find myself in this global, because it is so wide, this pandemic that's going on, you know, all around the world. And I think of all the other cultures and what they have around them and what their belief systems are. And then I'm right there with them experiencing it. And it's the same thing in war situations, you know, in Yemen and in the Sudan. I've had a terrible time because I was right there with them. So it's hard for an empath, and thinking of it that way, it's hard for an empath to allow the compassion without being sucked into their life. That's the only way I know how to put it.
It's very easy for people who are conscious and consciously using their intuitive abilities, their natural, because everybody has them, that not to catch the waves of energy of what is happening around them or what is even happening around the world, because energy travels everywhere, as we know in feng shui. There's not even actually in universal energy, we know that the energy moves through the planet, through the people, through the everything, and into the universe. So we're not alone, even though we very often feel we're alone. And it's affecting all of us all the time. And that's why I often suggest that when we can, we just close down the empathic side of us and stay in the space of balance. Because if we can do that, we affect everything as well. So my quest is to say to myself, which tools do I use now to actually just reconnect with, for example, a flower or an animal or with the corners of my lips up, so that I can find that balance? Because as the energy moves through everywhere, it touches everyone. So my gift can be disconnecting in a way and connecting to the source or to the oneness. And I think if we can do that, empaths and intuitives have a really hard time in doing that, because we naturally flow with what's happening and with the energies that are coming.
It's like channeling. But, you know, if I do a reading and somebody asks me to channel something or help them through channeling, I always say, I don't know if I can do it, but let me see. I always start that way, and then I go into a meditation to see whether this person wants to come through or whether I get a sense of something. I think what you say is, I just have to remind myself not to just, when I see something that, to me, whether I see it on the computer or on television, which is very moving, I'm over there. I'm there in that spot. I've transferred to another country. I'm another person. I'm another. And living that through them, I need to. I love your advice about smelling a flower, bringing yourself back to what you have now. But then I feel guilty that I've left them. Do you see what I mean?
No, because we can't. I think it was Abraham, Esther Hicks, Abraham, which said you can't suffer enough to make a difference for somebody.
Oh.
You. It doesn't help them if you suffer with them. It helps them if you stand in your balance, because as a person of great light that you are, if you can get yourself back to that place and stand with someone, or stand with the planet in that space, it is, and as you know, you're such a wise being. I did want to read something that Brené Brown wrote about empathy, not empathic, but she said, empathy is simply listening, holding space, withholding judgment, emotionally connecting, and communicating that incredible healing message of, you're not alone. And I think that...
Oh, that's beautiful. Can you read that one more time? It's really beautiful. I do like her words a lot, but I hadn't heard this one. Can you read it again?
Brené Brown. Empathy is simply listening, holding space without judgment, emotionally connecting, and communicating that incredibly healing message of, you're not alone. And to be able to do that, we really need to be able to stand in our space. Because I know it said connecting emotionally. I'm not quite sure what she means by that particular thing. But I think it is just a connecting with the I'm not sure what she means. But for me, as I sit with people, if they're very emotional, I am quite aware that I'm sitting in the space as close as I can get to source or the oneness. Because if I go out to them and engage in being a part of their emotion, part of their suffering, I can't help them because I get so emotional and I suffer so much that there's two of us suffering and I'm not really there for them in that way.
Thank you.
But well, you know, the thing is...
That brought a lot more clarity to me.
But the thing is that we naturally... As you know, I can say all this stuff. I'm not saying that we all are able to do it all the time, because every so often we'll slide with somebody into that space, and then it's a matter of pulling ourselves back, using our tools, putting the corners of the lips up, and looking at a flower or hugging an animal or looking at a cloud or a pigeon on the windowsill. And if we can do that, you know, many people spend a lot of time protecting themselves as an empath. And again, we've talked about protection a lot in these podcasts. For me, that was absolutely useless, because being an empath, I would put protection up, and then somebody would come in and there would just be a flow and all of the protection would just disappear because I wasn't going to stop the flow. So the only way that I could protect myself was dropping into my space and deeper into the oneness or to the source. And that was the way that I could hold a space for somebody, or I can hold a space for somebody and also keep myself clear enough to be of help in some way, hopefully.
Thank you. And I also got one other little aspect from what you said, too, when you read that thing about suffering for somebody else. That's one of the things that in the Mayan energies, and so I was born Tihash, and that's the energy that suffers a lot for other people, as well as being the healer and the revolutionary and the truth, you know, the purveyor of truth. It's the ability to suffer terribly with other people.
Now, the difficulty with that is that is a little easier when we're younger, if we choose to take that route, because in a way what we're doing then is we're pulling that energy and processing it through ourselves. But as we get older, the reason I came to what I do now as well is because I did a lot of that as a kind of a medium younger person. And I would just let the energy channel through me and try to stay, you know, keep bringing myself, but I would be in the emotion totally with the person. And the we come through it, we both feel okay. But as I got older, it got harder and harder to cope with that energy of suffering. And so that's when this came to me of pulling back, disconnecting, but still connecting, but connecting to the source or the oneness as opposed to the suffering.
Oh, I'm taking a deep breath now. Thank you.
But, you know, as I said, this is only something we do, like all the things we do, right, that we do when we can, when we remember. We're not going to do it all the time, and sometimes it's really relevant to suffer, or whatever it is that for every each individual person.
Yeah, I think the answer to help that helps me as well is that when I feel totally sucked into the pain or the suffering, is to place myself mentally, emotionally, spiritually in a meditation to hold the space, as you said, to hold the space for that person or that country or that event, and say you're not alone. But I don't have to take in the suffering. And I think the Buddhists have another way of explaining it, that, and that is, I think their terminology, or it was with Trungpa Rinpoche, it was idiot compassion. And the idiot compassion is feeling compassion, but you take it on yourself so that you're no good to anybody. You can't help anybody. And the best way to help somebody is to be in that space of holding space for them. You are not
whenever we can. Yes, you were just going to say.
What, you are not alone.
Yeah. That is a huge deal, and that's a huge deal for everybody all the time. I mean, there are a lot of people right now who are dying alone because they can't have family around them or loved ones around them when they die from COVID, and they're dying in hospitals alone. And that is a very significant thing. I mean, this is a worldwide plague in a way.
That's something that true empaths could probably do, is sit in that meditation space with those who are, you know, who are far away, but we have a way of connecting with them, mm-hmm. and to hold space with them so that they are not alone, even though they are in hospital and without their family.
That's a wonderful thing if people have it, and that applies to anybody. That, I mean, if we forget the COVID and think of a lot of people around the planet who are dying alone or who are very alone, or the people dying on the streets who have nowhere to go and no place to go, it's a lovely idea. I know you do a lot of this where you hold candles and hold space for people, and I think that's maybe you could share how you do that, Jill.
Well, I like to, when I do that, and it's something specific, and I believe it's because I can't just do it nonchalantly. I have to mark an intention. So if I'm holding space for someone, or and in that way helping them through a difficulty, just by being with them, I'll light a candle, because the candle will mark, okay, now this is time that I'm holding space for you. I'm going to be with you. And it brings me right down to the point of holding space for somebody, holding compassionate space for someone. If I don't light a candle and I continue doing what I'm doing throughout the day, I lose it. And I need to focus that, because it's really powerful when we do that. Sometimes I'll even add incense to it. I'll do it with a candle and incense, and I'll sit somewhere quietly and I'll close my eyes, soft belly, drop my shoulders. And then pay attention to my breath. And my breath, the exhale, will... It, as I've always seen that as sort of like a little silver thread that goes out into the universe and connects with whoever it is that needs attention.
And that is so lovely. And I know that at least in the beach place where you were with your son's house, you had like a little space that you kept, like almost a little altar, right?
Altar wherever I go. I create an altar. So, yes, I had a beautiful altar there. I also created a little one in the front hall so that as people came and went, they would be blessed by the altar. I have an altar here. That was the first thing I did when I came back into the canyon, was to create an altar. And then Bob picked some of our roses yesterday, and oh, the scent is so beautiful. Of course, the roses went right on the altar. And I have a list of people. For years, I've kept a book of people who have asked for prayers, and I write their names in the book, and that book is on the altar. Sometimes people send me photographs, and I put the photographs in the book on the altar. And so that I feel that the altar is primed so that I'm working with the elements. I usually have fire, like the fire, the candle, a water, a little bit of water in there, a feather and a stone for the earth, the feather for the air, so that that all elements are there. And that calls in all the elements to go into an empathic, compassionate state, holding space with those that I'm doing this for.
And I think that it could be of no religion, or people could make it of their religion too.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I have the four directions because I'm very, very much into the earth and all the things of, Pachamama, Mother Earth. And so I work like that beautiful ficus tree that was thrown away, and Bob brought in to me. It was out in the street, and I had it over at my son's place. And when I used to do healing ceremonies, I would work with that tree, and boy, did that tree flourish, because I would work with that tree to send messages, you know?
So we can work with the plants and the...
We can always work with the plants. As a matter of fact, now that you say that, this morning I thought, you know, all my plants are outdoors. I need to bring something indoors so that I have it with me either on the altar or where I sit, because I have a natural connection to the vibration of plants. I figured that one out long ago, and I miss it right now.
And we're so lucky, as you've said before, living in areas where we do have outside plants, and it is an incredible gift, and it is also lovely to have. Well, Bob brought in the roses this morning for you, which is such a lovely thing.
Oh, beautiful roses, beautiful roses. We had a whole a little area of roses outside our bedroom window. But a lot of that went in the time of the fires and the drought, but we have a couple of roses that are blooming now, and the jasmine and the orange blossoms, which I cannot say enough about. Beautiful scents. And the other thing is the bird song has been incredible. So whatever is happening in the world today, if we pay attention, for me, if I pay attention to the earth, not what's happening on the earth so much, even that so much of what's being done to the earth is devastating, yet if you listen, look, and hear the nature around you, the tree, the birds, I heard a bird this morning that I hadn't heard before. The bird sounds, so all those are beautiful things. I think of that as Mother Earth comforting us. And
and that's everywhere. Even if we're in New York City, for example, that's always there.
Yes.
It's just outside the window. And I know I've lived briefly in New York City, so yes, there's always a pigeon or a cloud or the outside weeds or the little plants on the sidewalk when people are allowed to walk around again.
Yeah.
Well, we have been talking about the difference in the way between empathic and empaths and what is an empath. And we've got a whole lot more to say that, but we're going to finish now. And this is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
You stay safe, Fiona. You're on Earth Tribe Radio, your home on planet Earth.